Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We go out to the Buyers Barricades hotline and welcome in our good buddy from the Cowboys Wire, Mr. KD Drummond, into the safe space. And KD, we start in the obvious place here. Are we about to see Manning versus Mahomes versus Brady for the next decade?
Yeah, I could easily see that happening. It's definitely something, because Brady surely has an elixir, the fountain of youth. I believe that's why he ended up going down to Florida to go track where Ponce de Leon found the fountain, and he's just going to be in the league for the next 25, 30 years.
Yeah, and that fountain is found at the Orchids of Asia. He actually followed Robert Kraft there, so it's very special.
That's a whole different method of rejuvenation, my guy.
It's all working, though, baby. It's all working. Yeah, I just love the idea of us going through like a decade of Manning versus Brady, and then Brady does his thing for like a half decade, and then it's Brady versus Mahomes until Brady's like 54 and ends up probably lasting longer in the NFL than Mahomes. Because Philip Rivers is retiring. This is just ridiculous. And we're about to have a pretty fun quarterback carousel here upcoming this offseason. So many big names, whether it's, Aaron Rodgers at this point. I mean, who knows? You have Deshaun Watson. We know about Matthew Stafford, and that's kind of where I want to get the gauge with you. I asked a couple of guys last night who had jumped on with us, and now I want to get your thoughts. Put a percentage chance in your mind right now that the Highland Park alumni, Mr. Matthew Stafford, could be the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys in 2021.
What's his jersey number? He's jersey number 9?
His jersey number 9.
9%.
Okay.
All right. It keeps going up, Walchuk. This thing started at 2. We got ourselves up to 4, and now we're sitting pretty at a 9%.
I also like it because Dalton went with 4% because that's Dak Prescott's number. So now KD's going 9% because that's Stafford's number. So consistency here. This is a good thing. KD Drummond joining us here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. KD, real quick, I know Eric, mentioned, are we going to have Mahomes, Brady for the next 10 years? But in reality,
I meant 15,
now,
by the way.
15, yeah, no, you're right. It might even be 20. Hell, Brady doesn't look like he's slowing down anytime soon. But now that we know our Super Bowl matchup, do you think we got the two best teams in?
I'd say yes. I mean, Green Bay put up a good fight. They were really hampered by losing their tackle, Bakhtiari. I think that made a big difference. You saw what the pass rush of Tampa Bay was able to do. Todd Bowles called an incredible game for the Tampa Bay defense. But I think that was really a big problem, was their ability to protect Rodgers. Rodgers was cooking, but they did not take advantage of those Tom Brady turnovers in the second half. And I think you got to give the credit to Bowles on that and the defensive scheme that he had in place and the game plan that he had in place. I would say that it's the two best teams. Kansas City is clearly the best team in the AFC. To me, they're clearly the best team in football. I don't know if they're going to stop, because for some reason their coordinators aren't being considered for jobs, so they're just going to keep on trucking for the next several years. You would think that an AFC team would hire one of their coordinators just to try to weaken what Kansas City has going on right now, because they're clearly the best team in that conference. But, yeah, I think that we can be very happy with the Super Bowl matchup right now.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and you're right, you make a good point. I mean, there's been so much consistency and continuity on that staff there in Kansas City, and yet Eric Bieniemy is a hot coach, a hot candidate, but just does not get hired. It's bizarre. KD Drummond, at KD Drummond NFL on Twitter. Now, you shared an article that is on CowboysWire.USAToday.com about reflecting on some of the changes that worked and ones that didn't work for the 2020 Dallas Cowboys. As you went back and assessed the season, what was maybe the one thing that the Cowboys did that really did work, and then what was maybe the one that fell flat on their face?
Well, it's one of those things where hindsight is 2020, and I think that's actually the name that I gave the article with hindsight 2020, looking back on the 2020 season. But I think that the move to get Andy Dalton worked. It was one of those things where Dak Prescott hadn't missed a game in his career, and they went out and they signed the veteran guy. Now, he came cheap. You know, he signed for $7 million. Only $3 million of that was promised to him. The rest was incentives if he ended up taking over the quarterback position. And the unthinkable happened. Dak Prescott got injured and was lost for the season. So having Andy Dalton in place did work in that regard, although it didn't look like it immediately. You know, when he first came in, everybody was saying that he was washed up. He had no chance behind that offensive line. And then once he came back after the bye week, he kind of got things all together. But other than that, it was probably, a very tough situation, especially with the defensive line. They lost Robert Quinn to free agency, and thankfully they didn't sign him after we saw what happened with him in Chicago, only getting the two sacks after getting all that money, I believe $14 million a year. But the signings that they made, Don Terry Poe, Gerald McCoy, those guys, Everson Griffin, they really went 0-for-3 when it came to a free agency and that defensive line group. So I think that was probably the biggest impediment to the Cowboys' success, was not getting the kind of play that they were looking for. Because remember, it wasn't just that they signed those guys. They signed a very heralded defensive line coach in Jim Tomsula, who refused to play Randy Gregory. And that seems to be the impetus for his demise in Dallas, was that Jerry Jones was not happy that they would not give Randy Gregory snaps. And they were, for some reason, so enamored with Dorrance Armstrong, who didn't play badly. I'm not, shading Dorrance Armstrong, but he's not Randy Gregory. Randy Gregory should have been out-snapping him as soon as he was eligible to play in Week 7. So I think overall, the defensive line was one of the biggest missteps that they took. And then, of course, you have to point to the fact that they didn't sign Byron Jones, and they're carrying over all this money. Now, they're carrying over a lot of cap space to 2021 to prepare to sign Dak Prescott, so that makes sense. But they made the decision to sign a bunch of, mediocre guys who didn't pan out. Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, Poe, Gerald McCoy, they signed all these guys' contracts, that money that could have gone towards Byron Jones. And, of course, the biggest elephant in the room that I've kind of walked away from, which used to be my calling card, I used to talk about it all the time, the Tyrone Crawford contract from when they signed him was just an egregious error. And then coming off of double hip surgery and a down year, they kept him on the payroll for $8, $9 million cap hit. That could have easily have gone to someplace else. So, yeah, the defensive line errors, the Byron Jones, those were the two areas that were the biggest missteps for the Cowboys in 2020.
Talking with KD Drummond on the Buyers Barricade hotline here on 105 Through the Fan. Mel Kiper, who has helped corner the hair gel market there along with Adam Schein in New York, he mock drafted the Cowboys taking Roshan Slater, the offensive tackle of Northwestern, today. Would you be okay with the Cowboys taking another lineman in the first round? And if they did, I know you're a big cap guy. Do you think that would spell the end of Tyron Smith, since the Cowboys could save a little over $10 million in a post-June 1st cut?
I waffle on the selection of Slater or Sewell or whoever is the flavor du jour at the offensive line in the top 10. Because I don't have a problem with a team going offense, because there are other picks where you can help the defense. The defense isn't going to be augmented and all of a sudden become great if you pick 7 defensive rookies and think that they're all going to start. It will have to be augmented by what you do in free agency. So this is one of those issues. I do mock drafts all the time. I'm very famous for them. I like to see who ends up where guys are projected, and then track that through the offseason. But it doesn't come first. Free agency comes first. Retirements come first. Trades come first. We don't know what the Cowboys unit is going to look like once we get to the draft. So while it's fun to talk about these projections right now, we don't truly know. I think by the time we get to the draft, we'll have a clearer indication on what the Cowboys want to do with Tyron Smith, what Tyron Smith wants to do, whether or not he's considering retirement, or if whether or not he's looking to get a fresh start somewhere other than Dallas. Those are the type of things that I think play an important role. If we're going to say, as the Cowboys offensive line stands now, where you have Smith, either Williams or McGovern starting at left guard. You're projecting Biotish at center. You have Zach Martin and Lael Collins, who also we have to concern ourselves with. We assume Lael Collins is going to be healthy coming back after his hip surgery. We just don't know what that's going to look like. But assuming all of those five positions are in place, I'm against drafting somebody with the number 10 pick to take one of their places, to shift somebody around. I think you can get by. You don't have to have first-round picks at every single position on the line. But if something does not smell right with any of those positions, I have no problem with them taking an offensive lineman at number 10. And if Slater's the best guy for that, then it's going to be Slater.
What about the trade down option, KD? Like, you'd be willing to jump on one of these linemen at 10, but what if you have an opportunity to trade down a little bit? Don't you think this is kind of a good year for that, or am I missing something?
No, it's definitely a good year for that. I think all cards are on the table. I think everything except for trading up is on the table.
And
the way that they're moving with Dak Prescott, you kind of have to worry that they might consider trading up to go get a young quarterback. But that's for another show. We can talk half an hour about that one. But outside of hunting for a new franchise quarterback, which I pray the Cowboys aren't in the mindset to do, I think all of it is on the table. Taking defense, taking offense, trading back to get more picks. The key will be how the top quarterbacks go. You assume Lawrence is going to go first. You assume that you're going to have some order of Wilson and Fields going before the Cowboys get on the clock. But then is there somebody like Trey Lance or Mac Jones that other teams want to jump up for that the Cowboys could then get some semblance of a bounty? Maybe there's somebody that's interested in Slater and they see him as the best guy and they want to trade up for that offensive tackle. Maybe one of the wide receivers start to drop and some teams thinks that they're, you know, one weapon away from contending for the 2021 season. So you could see all of these different scenarios play out. The Cowboys just have to be flexible. That is the name of the game when it comes to draft weekend. Be flexible. Don't marry yourself to a prospect. Don't marry yourself to going on one side of the ball against or the other, and just be flexible and see what comes to you. And if the perfect offer comes for you to trade back, think you can still get your guy or get one of the two or three guys that are in a group clustered together with draft grades on your board, then you make that move and then you get another player that can help your team.
KD Drummond, Cowboys Wire, with us here in the nosebleed seats. All right, I wanted to ask you about some of these quarterbacks that could be potentially on the move. And I kind of wanted to look at right here in our division with the Washington football team and what they might be thinking. Do you have any – I know you have some good plugs over there and some sources in Washington. Do you have any idea of what their plan is at the quarterback spot? And is Deshaun Watson even remotely an option?
It's tough to say because Watson is one of those guys that's going to cost you everything. He's not just going to cost you your first this year. He's going to cost you your first in 2022, most likely your first in 2023, or one of your star players. One of the constant rumors is that, you know, you can get away with trading them Chase Young and a couple first-round picks. And that to me is, I would actually love to see Chase Young leave the division myself personally, because he's that good. That, I mean, he's a Maryland boy. He is really that good that I would love to see him leave the division. But I think Washington would more be in line with trading for a guy like Stafford. I think that marriage to me makes the most sense out of it all. You give up a first-round pick for Stafford around 19. You give up a third or fourth-round pick in conjunction with that. And then you can still go out, and if you're Washington, you can still complement a guy like Terry McLaurin with your second-round pick and then shore up your defense for the rest of the draft. I think if you add Stafford, you add another one of these phenomenal wide receivers. I mean, you might be able to get Bateman, the kid out of Minnesota, in the second round, and you pair him with Terry McLaurin, and then you're really good to go if you're Washington. So that, to me, seems like the more reasonable path that Washington will take. Get a guy like Stafford who, you know, could play into his late 30s, into his 40s, and be that kind of guy, the franchise quarterback for you. Because, yes, Alex Smith was a great comeback story, but you saw how he played. He didn't play well when he was out there on the field. So it's great that he's back in the league, but Washington needs to find a solution at quarterback. I just can't see them mortgaging the future now that they have some semblance of a competent front office. If Dan Snyder was still calling the shots, yeah, I think that they would pony up and give all of that up for Deshaun Watson. But outside of that, I would probably lean towards Stafford for them.
KD Drummond with us here on 105.3 The Fan. KD, are you a Wizards fan as well? I know you rep the Nats, but do you follow the Wizards?
I follow the Wizards. I am formerly a Wizards fan, but I am highly just disappointed in what they have become over the years. So if you make me an offer for my fandom, like Bradley Beal, I am on the trade block.
Yes, perfect, because I would love to get Bradley Beal in a Dallas Maverick jersey. So maybe off air we can figure out how we can make that work. But it is, of course, you know, the one-year anniversary, crazy that it's already been 1 year since we lost Kobe Bryant, and I wasn't sure if you had any lasting Kobe memories. If you were a big Kobe fan growing up, I just wanted to give you a little bit of time as we remember Kobe here 1 year ago today and that tragic, tragic helicopter accident.
It is, it's amazing that it's been a year. And, you know, I saw on Twitter somebody say Kobe was supposed to be the biggest tragedy that we suffered in 2020. And unfortunately, it was the beginning of just a ridiculous stretch that we're still going through. So, you know, there was a mass mourning for the loss of Kobe, and the nation hasn't really stopped mourning since then because of everything that's happened with the pandemic. I was not a Kobe fan coming up. I was actually in my younger days and going back to my Wizards days, which is part of the reason why I have a love-hate relationship with them. I kind of gave up on the Wizards when they got rid of Chris Webber. So I became a Sacramento Kings fan. So I was actually a big, you know, Kobe and Shaq were the rivals of the Kings. They were the ones keeping the Kings down. You remember how the refs cheated that Game 7 and they just kept, you know, giving the Lakers all of the calls, and they weren't calling anything for the Kings. So I had those memories, but you can't do anything but respect that man. I mean, the competitive drive is something that we had not seen since Jordan. I don't think that we've seen it again. Nobody cared more about winning and I don't mean that in, like, you know, a selfish way, but nobody cared more about winning than doing the work it took to win. That's a better way to frame it. His dedication to the cause was incomparable. There's nobody that's touched the floor that's as dedicated to the cause as Kobe Bryant, and he's clearly missed by the entire basketball nation, the entire world, really, for what he did for the game and for the example that he set out there. And then what you saw in his second phase of his life, how great of a dad he was, how much he cared for those girls. It's just it's just still a heartbreaking story that he's gone too soon.
No question about it, KD. Well said, my friend. Thank you so much for the time, as always, and we'll talk with you next week.
All right, gentlemen. Salute.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.